Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. The coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
You have to play man coverage in 3rd and 2 to 6. If you play cover 2 or cover 3, they're going to run hitch routes, they're going to run slants, they're going to run stick routes, they're going to move the chains. NFL quarterbacks are too good. You have to challenge in those situations. You have to play press, you have to get hands on wide receivers and disrupt the release to disrupt the timing of the route itself. So in those situations, you got to play man. And if I'm Dennis Allen against the Green Bay Packers in those situations, I'm playing man with pressure. Because right now I'm not getting home with 4, so that's telling me I have to bring pressure.
3rd and 15. Under pressure. Throw for Dennis without bounds. Couldn't stay in. Jalen Johnson covering 4th and 15.
Now Dennis Allen rolled the dice there. He showed 2 high, 2 safety look, and it's a snap of the ball. He goes to a 1 high look, played man-to-man. Man free with the safety in the middle. Trusted Jalen Johnson in his corners to hold up on Islands, and they do.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Oh, we love when we get the opportunity to break down tape with Matt Bowen. He joins us every week throughout the Bears season, and he joins us here on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Big Ann Heron is in for Spiegs. Spiegs will be back on Thursday. Carmen Vitale will be in his stead tomorrow. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Oh, we're basking in what has been the insanity of the Bears winning. And I know that it's a unique perspective that you have. You are a Bears fan. You also played for the Packers. So What was this like watching this game play out Saturday night?
Well, first of all, I've never seen an ending quite like that. Never as a player, never as a coach at the high school level or at the Pop Warner level. To score 25 points in the fourth quarter is hard to do at the lower levels. It's extremely hard to do in the National Football League. And I think when you look at this game, it's a great example of a team in the Bears taking advantage of opportunities in the second half of that football game. Yes, they made adjustments. We'll get to all that. But taking advantage of opportunities and mistakes by the Green Bay Packers. That's what good football teams do. It's not their fault you've made a mistake. But when you do make a mistake, when you don't execute on special teams, we are going to take advantage of it. And that's what the Bears did. They played at such a high level in terms of playmaking ability in that second half. And that's why they won the game. That's why they're advancing.
One thing that stood out to me was the level of aggression that Ben Johnson showed with fourth downs early. I think you can make a case for or against that. But the fact that they weren't converting those fourth downs and the team was still able to come back in the second half and respond and not get too dejected. Because you know what it's like when you know a game plan is going to have a specific temperament to it. And a team can crumble if you feel like, oh, this was our best laid plan and we're not getting this done. But the Bears didn't crumble. That really stood out to me as something that Ben Johnson, he's not shy about crediting his players. The team continued to sort of forge their way back into the game, even though those fourth downs weren't working for him.
I agree, Anthony. And I think it also speaks to the players and understanding who their head coach is and what they're going to do from a scheme perspective and situational. Right? And that our coach is going to go for it in fourth down. We are going to be aggressive. And if we don't get it, Anthony, we're going to keep playing football. But that's who we are. I think that's, if you're a Bears fan and you watch the season all year, this is what Ben Johnson does. They are going to be aggressive. They are going to take risks. And that's why they're explosive on offense. That's why they win football games. That's why they can play situational football, which has been missing in this city for years, right? And so I think from your perspective, Anthony, what you're talking about as a player, you say, you know what, we didn't get the fourth down. We're going to get another opportunity to get it though later in the game, and we are going to cash in those opportunities, and they did exactly that.
Before we get into some of the specifics with what they did in the second half on defense, the throw, the fourth and eight that all of us, the entire football world is reacting to, when you compare it with the one where he called game against the Packers late in the regular season or the one against Cleveland where, you know, it was the eye-popping throw and catch with DJ, that fourth and eight to me, factoring in, yes, the game situation is a part of that, but even just his mobility, the discernment of where the angle were that the defenders were coming from, the ability to put touch and loft on a pass while he's rolling in that direction to be able to fit it in there. To me, of many amazing passes that Caleb Williams has thrown this season, that to me topped the rest of them. How do you kind of rank it?
I agree with you. That's number one. And it shows that he's an elite playmaker. And I think that's where you put Caleb right now if you're having a discussion about where he is in terms of his development. And we can get into his ability to throw with more timing, to identify his outlets at a higher rate within the progression. But in terms of his playmaking ability, it is at the top right now. And he's shown it all season. To do that, think about this, Anthony. We don't even have the stories about late in the game if he doesn't make that throw. There is no touchdown to DJ Moore. You know, none of that happens if you don't make that throw. And I don't think, when you're watching the game, you know, you're watching on TV, you don't think like that. So, well, it's a big-time throw. They extend the game. But really, that won them the football game, if you think about it.
So let's go through this, because I asked Big Ant about it, and I texted you about it earlier in the week. What happened? Like, what was a difference that you saw in the Bears in the second half from what you saw in the first?
Well, I think scheme, in terms of defensively what they did, they played even more man coverage in the second half. Over 68% of coverage snaps. So they said, we're going to challenge. And Lawrence, we talked about that last week. And there are certain situations where you have to challenge, you have to play man, and you have to win in man coverage. They did that. And they're doing it more from a press position. So they were aggressive. And they're going to disrupt timing off the release. They're going to be a little grabby. They're going to be physical in coverage. They did all of that. And if you look at the numbers, I got them right here. Jordan Love in the second half versus man coverage. 8 of 17 for 83 yards. And a QBR of 19.7. I think it tells a story right there. They completely changed the game. Yes, they brought pressure, too. I thought Dennis Allen did a great job in the second half. And it's not like he got new players, guys. Same roster, right? He didn't sign any free agents at halftime. This is the same roster they had. And I think also credit to the players. And this has nothing to do with scheme. And, Anthony, you know this. They just played faster. They simply played faster. There's much more urgency to their movements in the second half on the defensive side of the football in terms of the pass rush, the pressure, and the coverage.
Having Kyler Gordon back in the lineup and all this time he's missed this season, it's fun projecting forward what a full healthy season of Kyler Gordon in the Dennis Allen scheme might be. But the more he got on the field the other day, and he didn't look as in shape, as sudden as the prime Kyler Gordon would look. But what impact did specifically Kyler Gordon have?
Well, he's your man coverage guy in the slot. That's what he is. He's an excellent zone defender and a tackler, too. But you need that man coverage corner. Lawrence and I talked about this the last couple weeks, how they were getting exposed in the slot. They couldn't match up, especially at the third level of the field. They were really struggling. So getting Gordon back, and to your point, Anthony, he is not 100%. I think anyone who watched the game can understand that. That's just reps. That's more reps. He'll get more reps during the week of practice now. He will play at a faster rate this weekend, I guarantee that. But having him back on the field allows you to play matchups, and that's what you need.
Yeah, and watching it play out the way that it did, I'm a huge Kyler Gordon fan. You know that, Matt. Like, watching him be able to impact the run defense and then being picked on a little bit towards the end of the game. Like, they went after him, and I felt like he got better. To your point, I felt like with the reps, it was like, oh, okay, you guys want to challenge me? I'm the highest paid nickel in the league. Watch this. And then he broke up a couple of passes and knocked down the last pass of the game.
We have to understand that it's the mentality of a defensive back. If you give up some plays, guess what? They're going to throw the ball at you again and again and again until you stop it, until you make some plays. And he answered. I always use the term as a coach, sometimes you have to answer the bell as a football player. That was a prime example of it. Because if you don't make the plays, if you allow separation, you're going to put your defense in a tough spot. So can you respond after giving up a couple plays and come back and create some on-the-ball production? He did exactly that.
Love the game of Grady Jarrett, where a lot of his career, he's been able to be a guy who's undersized as a defensive tackle, but can get into creases and play on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Right. And even as he's gotten healthy throughout the year, we haven't necessarily seen the playmaking show up in the backfield as frequently, but he was just really active the other night. When you were mentioning the activity of the Bears defense in the second half, I feel like Grady Jarrett was a really big example of that.
I agree. I think the interior of their defense, the second-level linebackers, too, cutting off the ball, playing cut-off and force angles, not allowing the ball to get to the perimeter, creating disruption, like you mentioned with Jarrett, someone could play with leverage inside, which you know about Anthony as a former defensive tackle. So I just love what the defense did in general in the second half, and they just played at a higher rate. And sometimes it's you can draw whatever you want in the chalkboard at halftime. It comes down to the mentality you have from a defensive perspective. Are you going to change? Are you going to change the game? Can you do that? Can you get us back in the football game? Because if you're in halftime, Ben Johnson's telling Dennis Allen and his defense, we need stops. We need stops to get back in this football game. That's exactly what they got.
They did. So I asked Anthony about this earlier. I wanted to ask you, as a defender, how frustrating would it be to go up against Caleb Williams?
I think there's multiple levels to that. From Anthony's perspective in the defensive line, you better be in shape, first of all, because you're going to have to run, okay? Because Caleb can extend plays as well as anyone in the league. He's up there with Mahomes, the ability to extend plays. So he's going to test your conditioning. He's going to test your gap responsibility, your rush lane responsibility. And then the secondary, that's just a long day of work because you have to cover down the field. And then even when you're playing zone coverage, when routes get past 10 to 12 yards, you're basically playing man. And to do that for an extended period of time, there's no margin of error. And I think that play we were talking about, the throw to Rome Odunze, the corner is undercutting the over route, right? And that's a long way to run from the other side of the field. And I would teach the DB the same thing. Undercut it, try to make a play on the football because you shorten the window when you undercut it. The ball was just perfect in terms of the placement, the touch, and where he put it. And to do that with pressure is really high level.
If you were the opposing defensive mind trying to game plan against the Bears, and with as many different playmakers as we've seen, whether it's been DJ Moore, especially late in games, and his sort of Swiss Army knife ability to be a runner and a pass catcher, a deep player and everything else, or Colston Loveland with his length and his versatility as a tight end, who is the playmaker? Who sort of tops the opposing chart of defensive minds for who they have to try to take away for the Bears?
Well, Anthony, right now you think you have to take away Colston Loveland. You have to. Look at the numbers he's produced for his last three football games and what he did against their Green Bay defense. He had three catches of 20-plus yards on flood routes, which are three-level routes. And for the listeners out there, flood route is you clear the corner, and you take the underneath defender, and you put him in conflict. Does he take the underneath route, or does he get to depth to take away the out route or the deep corner route, which Loveland runs? And they had that three times in the football game. He can press the seams. He's got the foot quickness to beat press coverage when he played man. Right now, if I'm the Los Angeles Rams, that's the player I have to take away.
Yeah, his improvement from where he was at the beginning, and obviously a younger player, younger for his class,
yeah,
you know, and then he comes out and he turns into this guy. Where are the places where you see the biggest jump in what it is that he's become?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, understanding, if you go back to his college tape at Michigan, you know, can press the seams, can beat press coverage, but doing it against NFL defenders. I think that's the natural progression there. And you usually see that jump in the second half of the season. The game starts to slow down for you a little bit. His ability to beat one-on-one coverage, to fit better in the scheme, to understand that I think this entire offense, what they are, especially how productive they can be with two tight ends in the field. I looked at the numbers today. That's 12 personnel, two tight ends in the field. They have 21 explosive plays in the passing game. That's the second most in the NFL this season. And a lot of that has to do with the tight end position and Colston Loveland showing that growth and development the second half of the season.
When you break down that two-point conversion, the one to Loveland where they come out there in big personnel, and Ben Johnson, he had it dialed up in his head already. He immediately signals, let's get big on the field here. You go to 13 personnel, three tight ends out there, and then they get over the ball and spread everybody out. Loveland is one-on-one. How difficult is that? Just in, because every defensive mind, you're evaluating, what's the personnel group the offense puts on the field, and we try to match that personnel. So how, take us through how that philosophically and then kind of schematically works out.
Well, what that does is it creates matchups because you're trying to get run defenders in the football game, or right when you have three tight ends in the game, everyone thinks it's going to be a, you know, an off-tackle play. So you get your extra safeties, extra linebackers in the field. But when they spread, now you're in coverage. And I've been in that situation multiple times, even, you know, back in my career. And they do that, you're thinking, oh, no. This is not where I want to be. This is not why I'm in the football game. And look, they had the matchup they wanted. It was a great pass from Caleb. You talk about ball locations, a back shoulder throw. Even if the coverage was tighter, you're not going to make that play.
Matthew Stafford is a bit of a savant at the quarterback position, and he's got a guy that I think could win Offensive Player of the Year and also Devontae Adams. So you've got that to deal with, and Sean McVay is every part equal of a play caller as Ben Johnson is, and his resume reveals that. What do you expect them to – what are you looking for them to do to try and challenge the Bears' defense?
Well, I think the one thing that Sean McVay has done historically in L.A. that is outstanding is he gets his wide receivers, I use the term free access off the line of scrimmage. He uses a lot of motion, a lot of stack sets, a lot of bunch sets, so they can avoid press coverage and get into the route. And right now, when you look at Nacua, he is one of the best at playing through contact. He is excellent, outstanding ball carrier, toughness after the catch, outstanding vision after the catch. He is one of the top players in our league right now. There's no question about it. With Devontae, you can go back and watch the film from the season. Still one of the best in the league at beating press coverage. I think that was a great pickup for them because they got their ex-receiver opposite of Nacua who can win those one-on-one matchups. Plus, you got to deal with the run game. And they are physical in the run game. They've become more gap-heavy the last couple of years. And they will get numbers at the point of attack. So it is a challenge to play that offense because you have one of the top play callers. And anyone who's watched the NFL this season can agree that Matthew Stafford might have played his best season of his career.
And I don't know what the numbers ended up bearing out in the second half of the game. It felt to me like Green Bay offensively pre-snap was a little more static in the second half as well than they were in the first half. And that's where like a guy they have like Jaden Reed, he's a weapon for Matt LaFleur in the same way that Ben Johnson is able to have all these movable pre-snap chess pieces. Didn't feel like they used motion to sort of outflank and to, you know, sort of confuse the Bears' second, third level as much in half number two. I don't see Sean McVay making a similar mistake as the Bears are fighting back into a game here. So when you think about the ability for, you know, DeMarco Jackson, he's going to be out there. And yes, he's been good when he's in the lineup. He doesn't know the game the way TJ Edwards does. Andrew Billings, if he's not healthy. So Bears run defense that even though Matthew Stafford is incredible at this point in his career, McVay's going to be willing to run the rock at him. So what do the Bears have to be prepared for in that regard?
I agree. The run game is a foundational approach of that coaching tree. Look at Shanahan, look at McVay. That's where their offense is built, is running the football. And a lot of pre-snap movement, like you said, Anthony. And really, it's going to test the eye discipline of the Bears linebackers. you know, are they hesitant? Do they take false steps? Do they take poor angles? That's what the motion does to you. The jet movement we see in that offense, the misdirection, it's really going to test their eye discipline. Because if you don't stop the run game, Sean McVay will stick with it. He will stick with it as long as he can.
How's the whiteboard workshop coming along?
We started last night. Great group of quarterbacks. I'm doing it up at the Bow Dome in Bensonville with Next Level. Quarterback coach Greg Holcomb, who's J.J. McCarthy's private coach. I've known Greg for a long time. He's worked with our quarterbacks at IC since 2014. Excellent coach. I have a lot of respect for him. And I had a lot of fun last night, Lawrence. A lot of fun. And the kids loved it because we went through some basic stuff last night, some cover three checks, how to attack the free safety. But their favorite thing was we watched the film of Caleb Williams at the end.
That's a great way to do it. Can old talk show hosts come and be a part of this? Because I would love to learn.
100% you can come out, Lawrence, anytime. You know that.
All right. I just wanted to make sure because it seems like a really cool thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should go check this out. Go to Matt's Instagram, MattBowen41. They're having it at the Bo Jackson Center, the Bo Jackson Dome, every Monday. He's on the whiteboard in the whiteboard workshop. It's a really, really cool idea.
Are they selling tickets to this?
I mean, you can get it online, too. Okay. Like, you can join it via Google Meet. If you're not able to go in person, so
all right. I like that.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing, and it really speaks to Matt as a coach and as a teacher. So I love this idea, and I promise I will definitely come out at some point so I can learn some more ball.
I mean, especially now that you put him on the spot on the 50,000 watt radio station, you know he doesn't have any choice but to say, "Yeah, come
hey,
on,
man."
Out.
Hey, man. Sometimes you have to use your. I was playing outside leverage on that one make sure that I got the invite. That's what you got to do sometimes. Matt, thanks, man.
All right, guys. I'll see you soon.
You got it. That's Matt Bowen. He's outstanding. This has been such a great show.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, like, really. We have torn this game apart. And I like it. And
there's a lot to like about it. It's a lot to revel in. A lot of revelry coming out of this Bears game here.
You're right. There is news. There's, like, real NFL news that's going on. And we need to talk about it. In the context of the Bears.
And I do, and there's probably a branch off of that for Caleb's sort of more demonstrative demeanor and what that means for the future of the Bears. I would love to pick your brain and kind of hear you out on that too.
All right, we can talk about all of that stuff next here on the...
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, Visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Score.
I'm so focused on our players, our staff, and just trying to, like I said before a million times, try to find solutions on how to get better.
Did you see the Bears locker room video after last night?
I did not.
There are a bunch of us here that were here for 4th and 26, that were here for the 2014 NFC Championship game. You were on Dan Quinn's staff for that Super Bowl. Assuming we continue the way things are, how do you make sure that a gut-wrenching loss like this serves as a, we gotta get our act together and we're gonna overcome this and not a spiral that things just keep
going? Yeah, I think you gotta use it as fuel. That's gonna be the message to our guys, is you have to use it as fuel.
Well, actually, shouldn't be laughing.
Matt LaFleur talking about how the game ended and how the Packers season ended, and most people believe he's going to sign an extension, that Goody is going to sign him to an extension. He'll get a Goody call and get his extension
done.
Oh,
hell no.
See? That's why I love having
that deserved
here.
A rim shot.
It did.
That's okay.
It did. You're going to get us in trouble with other afternoon show hosts there, Danny. What's the matter with you? So, yes, he's still there for now, but the news of the day, as Chris Bleck said, was Mike Tomlin moving on from the Steelers. And it's funny because before Bleck's Sports Minute, Big Ant and I were literally just talking about the idea.
It was like he heard us. It was like, let me record a Sports Minute in like 3 seconds and get it in the commercial break.
Yeah, because there isn't really, if you look around the league of broadcasters, there isn't a coach in the booth.
Right.
And that's weird because we grew up with that being a thing, like the whole, whether it's John Madden or Brian
Dick
Billick.
Vermeil did it for a while. Yep.
So there isn't any of that. And I wonder if he'd be more valuable if he wanted to do it. He might have, it's none of our businesses. I don't even know if he would be interested in doing it, but I'm wondering, is the value of Mike Tomlin better on a big game for a network versus him being on the desk somewhere?
Now, between the two roles, you know, just speaking plainly, being in studio is easier than calling a game.
You would know.
Calling a game has, it's like a midterm every week where you're preparing for the nuances, you're breaking down the film, you're trying to make sure you're prepared for the personal aspect of what happens in case some moment comes up in the game where you want to personalize the backstory of a guy too.
But I feel like that's wheelhouse for Mike Tomlin.
Certainly feels that way. Yeah. I mean, the difficulty of a game versus a studio show, if he just wants that easy landing strip, then I think that could certainly be a way for him to go about it. We saw Bill Parcells did it and was effective in studio.
Rex Ryan?
Yeah, Rex Ryan is good and entertaining in studio. A bunch of coaches have done that, but...
But people talk too much in our business.
That's true.
I mean,
that's
a good point.
But you can make a lot of money doing it.
Right?
He can make a lot of money doing anything, though. If he wants to keep coaching, he can definitely do that and make a lot of money coaching. And I don't think that college is on the table for him.
I don't think so either.
I wouldn't want that. If I wouldn't want a D1 job.
There's
right
a lot
now.
Of really good, lucrative college jobs, but he's Mike Tomlin. Like he doesn't necessarily need that to be lucrative or successful. He could get either another NFL job, or if he's going to do the Bill Cowher thing and say, you know what, I'm still young, even though I'm done with the Steelers are done with me, he could ride off into the sunset and just do the TV thing in perpetuity. But if he's not, he'll get another NFL job if he wants one.
I feel like him as a studio analyst and high school football coach is the perfect combination for Mike Tomlin. Because look at what's going on with Greg Olsen. Like, Greg is out here being a youth football, baseball, and basketball coach while he's doing games every week and has really stepped into that world now. He's really good at talking about it. But it's funny, like, you look in the NFC North and you look at the coaches here in this division, And we're going to get into Ben Johnson as villain at 5 o'clock, so you'll want to stick around for that conversation. But this is about as competitive from a coaching standpoint as this division has ever been.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and coming into the season, there was a lot of hope tied into what Ben Johnson had the potential to be and what he could turn the Bears into. And so we're seeing that potential realized, but there's no reason to think that Dan Campbell and the Lions are going anywhere. Now, do they need to go ahead and hire a new OC? Yeah, get an OC in there to kind of revamp the offense and take advantage of all the talent that's still in place there in Detroit. But as much as we're dancing on the grave of the Packers right now, but Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, assuming that continues to be the combination moving forward, they're going to be right there in the mix. And before Micah Parsons got injured, the Packers were a team legitimately in the Super Bowl conversation. So are the Bears as capable of coming back in that same way? For Green Bay controlled much of the first half plus of the game, just like they did with the two previous games. The Bears have yet to run an offensive snap against Green Bay this season with the lead. So that just shows you how improbable these games have been, these comebacks, these last two victories for the Bears have been. So there's no reason to think Green Bay, who continues to be one of the younger teams in the National Football League, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, if they decide to replace Matt LaFleur, which I don't believe they are, he'll continue to have a shelf life there in Green Bay. They're not going anywhere. You started to see a few flashes late in the season from J.J. McCarthy, where the Vikings, with an exceptional roster and head coach who's been really good with experienced quarterbacks, he'll have a more experienced quarterback next season with Kevin O'Connell. And so this is going to continue to be one of the more competitive divisions in the sport. But you can make the case right now that we've got tangible evidence, that maybe the Bears have the best combination. Do they have the best head coach? Now you can say maybe they got the best play caller. They might have the best head coach and the combination with he and the quarterback to perhaps not give the North back anytime soon.
If you're the Packers, you have a coach under contract, and it's a lame duck year
right
for him. Do you back channel to Tomlin and Harbaugh and go, just wanted to see how you maybe felt about living in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
I'm not there because I'm not out on Matt LaFleur. And there's a case that he's plateaued.
Yes.
Because we see it feels like they do the same thing every year. But the same thing they're doing every year, like they went out and got Parsons. And so when they got Parsons, it did show, it bared fruit. You know, it showed results where they were a team in the conversation for the one seed. They were a team who looked like they could go win the Super Bowl, and then their defense is impacted, and the offense has Jordan Love as opposed to a Hall of Famer at QB, and so things did fizzle. But Matt LaFleur's done a lot of winning in Green Bay, and he's developed quarterbacks, the best years of Aaron Rodgers' career. He got, what, two MVPs with Aaron Rodgers, and it wasn't because Aaron Rodgers was still exceptional, still elite before Matt LaFleur showed up. Aaron Rodgers was starting to fizzle, and then Matt LaFleur got there, and he won another MVP or two, and you're seeing the development of Jordan Love there also. Even Malik Willis is now going to make money after being trained by Matt LaFleur. So there's a big resume of not only winning games,
but the most
QB
important job.
Success
yes.
there. So I don't know. I don't see Green Bay moving on from Matt LaFleur. If Green Bay asked my opinion, I wouldn't be quick to move on from Matt LaFleur. To me, it's worth some continued bites at the apple because there's a core in place. They spent the money to get one of the best defensive weapons in football. If he's going to be healthy at some point early-ish next season, then Green Bay is going to be right back in the Super Bowl conversation with Matt LaFleur as opposed to going out and getting some guy who won one a long time ago.
It's nice that the Bears aren't involved in any of this stuff as of yet.
Right.
You know, like they might get some coaches poached. I would imagine that the Steelers would like to talk with Antoine Randall about their head coaching position.
Right.
You know what scares me, though? Mike McDaniel ending up in Detroit.
Okay.
That would scare me because I feel like the yin and yang of Dan Campbell and Mike McDaniel, that feels like a good fit. Now, he interviewed for the Atlanta job, so you get a qualified coach and you get to satisfy portion of the Rooney Rule by interviewing Mike McDaniel. But him as the offensive coordinator,
just a portion of?
Well, you got to do two, right?
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah, all
right. I don't mean because he's half.
No, I want to see what you meant by that. Why is it only a portion? I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to clarify why it was only a portion of the Rooney Rule. But I see what you mean by that now. That is factually accurate. Yes.
Oh, man.
That makes perfect sense. Is that how it works? I don't know.
So you got to get four?
Right? I don't know if I missed a clause in the Rooney Rule.
So you have to get Marcus Freeman in here, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, no, Marcus Freeman, he would actually satisfy the entire rule,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right. Because he's got both sides are a minority.
There
yeah,
you go.
Right.
Yep. Done deal. I mean, in Notre Dame, they were real quick when the Giants stuff was coming up. Yep. They were real quick to be like, hey, Marcus, here's a whole lot of money.
Yeah,
why don't you stay here in South Bend?
You remember that Brinks truck we got over there?
Yeah.
Just go ahead and take a gander.
There's some money in there, and it's all for you. Mm. But yeah, the Mike McDaniel thing scares me a lot.
Yeah.
That would be a good
fit. I see what you're saying with that, man. That's a lot. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, obviously in stature, Jared Goff is a much bigger guy than Tua. But in style of play, then there's some similarities to his ability to discern, to throw with touch, get the ball out quickly. And that's a lot of what the Mike McDaniel offense calls for. And he'll have an even more veteran and more proven commodity to do it with if he ended up in Detroit. So, yeah, that's a good call right there.
I want to have your Caleb conversation. And let's do it in the next segment. When we also will hear from Jalen Johnson because he was on with Uncle Shea. So we'll get his thoughts on the things that he's seen and Big Ant's thoughts on Caleb on the sideline. Big Ant is in today for Speaks. Speaks is the day off. Back after this on The Score.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back to when we saw Caleb leaving the field, right? right ankle just kind of gives out on him. He did get up. He was kind of walking a little bit with a limp, but he was frustrated. Yeah, he's talking to his coaches right there. Clearly didn't agree with maybe one of the calls. I'm not sure. He's frustrated. That went on for a while, though. I'm sure he's calmed down by now. JT Barrett, his quarterback coach, over there with him.
Highlight courtesy of Prime. By the way, the numbers are in. Big Ant, you work in television. I think even you will be a little surprised at the number of Bears-Packers guy.
Yeah.
31.6 million. Yeah. 31.6 million viewers.
Good heavens.
Good heavens. That is like title game type numbers stuff.
On Prime?
Yeah. Well, Prime, and also remember, is broadcast locally
here
on Fox
32. Yeah, but in my mind, I guess I would have thought the streaming audience would perhaps dampen it a bit. It apparently did not at all.
No, it did not. And I was telling Spiegs, because Spiegs did the post-game show over at Fox. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's say that 90% of the audience leaves and does whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That still leaves millions of people who are going to watch you on the post game. So if I'm being conservative.
Well, it wasn't like the Fox 32 broadcast wasn't national.
No, but still. But
if there's a lot of people watching
that. The Chicago market made up a lot of that audience.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, there's going to be like a million people watching you on the post game show. He's like, yeah. That's right. Exactly. So we did see Caleb get after his teammates a little bit. What did you think of it?
So I liked it. I think a lot of these things are within reason, but since we haven't seen him do that much, if at all, but my interpretation of that, and you know, obviously whether it's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Philip Rivers, like a bunch of the all-time greats, didn't mind getting after their teammates a little bit on the sideline. And it was a game, of course, of immense consequence, exceptional gravity, because your season ends if you're not on point and you don't come out with that dub. And some of the early miscues, and frankly, it's kind of back-to-back weeks of some offensive miscues that I would imagine both Caleb and Ben Johnson may be a bit frustrated with. But what that said to me was, we're seeing a version of Caleb that's more in like full mission control command of the Bears offense, knowing exactly where he is supposed to be, where his teammates are expected to be, what are the adjustments that need to be made within the play itself, and to have some of those moments play out where a first half on offense that wasn't leading to points consistently, and seeing that Green Bay is constantly moving the ball and is starting to create some separation between them and the Bears, then the urgency was certainly there for Caleb. And I like seeing it. And, you know, it didn't look to me like, you know, a sideline. Like what we see from the Philadelphia Eagles, where constantly they're yelling at each other, jawing at each other, and very kind of aggressively looking upset at each other. But it can be hard to sort of interpret the volume, the body language, the demeanor, the scowls that are there, because it's just a really intense environment on an NFL sideline. But it looked to me like a guy who was exhorting his teammates to know exactly what they were supposed to be doing, make corrections that were there in the moment. And, you know, again, we haven't seen a bunch of examples of Caleb just going off on guys on the sideline. So that to me looked like a young quarterback displaying a lot more command of the environment, of the offense, and of the expectations for he and his teammates.
It's interesting to me, because I think that there's a growth part of it, and I think some of it is just the amount of games. Like, we haven't talked about this, I think, enough. Caleb's played every game, which is kind of amazing for a quarterback in this day and age to play every game.
Especially considering his style of play.
Correct.
He's running around, his body's contorted at all these odd angles. He'll hold the ball and almost wait for a defender to hit him so he can have every millimoment possible to make a decision. So he does take some impact. Not usually big crushing hits, but it's an athletic game that Caleb plays.
And last year, he's walking in, it's him and Rome, but basically he walked into a veteran-led team.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, I'll just figure this whole thing out. But now Him and Rome, same draft class. Colson Loveland's younger than him. Kyle Manunga is younger than him. Luther Burden is younger than him, less experienced than him. So now there are at least guys on the team where Caleb can actually be like, no, I'm the upperclassman here. Mm-hmm. I kind of have an idea, along with, of course, being the quarterback of the team. And I think now he's got some backup, too. Like, he's got Joe Tooney and Drew Dahlman to be there to kind of help him in adjudicating that stuff. So I don't have a big problem with it. I don't usually mind guys showing emotion on the sideline, as long as it...
You're in a situation of conflict during a football game. Physical and mental conflict is constantly going on there. So emotions are going to run hot. You know, the volume is going to be ramped up that much more in a playoff game, even over what it is during a regular season game. And for Caleb as the quarterback, like at the Detroit game, you know, at the end of the regular season, he was getting on Durham Smythe, it looked like it, a couple of times there. And he's a veteran player. There's trust that's been established there between those two. And I haven't seen him get on DJ Moore per se, that type of thing, when they haven't been on the same page, but that's all right. I don't think necessarily everybody's interaction with the quarterback is going to be exactly the same.
Yeah, it's not going to be equal.
Yeah, but he's at a point in this season, at a point in his now young still career, where he has also earned that right to get on teammates, not only because he makes plays, but because they know he puts the work in to be as prepared as possible. And Ben Johnson has constantly pointed that out and talked about his young quarterback, that he is in there putting the work in. They're one-on-one. They're with the full offense. He's doing all the stuff with the team. He's getting extra time in after practice. So Caleb is ready to know exactly what's going on. And now we're seeing the actual execution of the job picking up as well. But, you know, that's earned with the guys in the locker room because they know he's put the work in.
It's like Alex. Is now running around here yelling at people, you know, making sure the gets done. That's sort of, now that he's comfortable.
Yeah.
Like he got, it was a little while, I was like, oh, no, guys, whatever you want. Mm. And now it's like, no, whatever I want. Right? So, and I think that's fine. Show.
Yeah, it allows you to become a menace, right? That's how it works.
A straight up menace.
That is exactly how it works. Our guy, Jalen Johnson, if you're Mark Grody, he was on Club Shay Shay. And remember, whether it's me and Big Ant or me and Matt Bowen, and we've been talking about how Jalen just doesn't look quite right. Well, he told Uncle Shay and Uncle Ocho that is the case.
So initially, I tore my adductor. So it's with all those things kind of connected from the adductor going into the pelvic and then from the core going into the pelvic. Once you kind of tear one, you kind of more likely going to tear the other one. So in Detroit, I end up tearing pretty much the core part of that connection. And then naturally, I had some damage leaking to my other side. So I really got both sides repaired, groin and core.
Mm. Wow. So you good now, though, huh?
Yeah. I mean, as far as my surgery injury goes, but it's like, the rehab is almost never ending, almost for about a year. Because, I mean, all the scar tissue builds up. And being in the position that I'm in, sliding, moving lateral.
Yeah,
like
you got to break it all up.
So it's been tough on me, honestly, because it's like when you know you can't move how you normally move, you start overcompensating. Now your mind is messed up. And now you're like, man, do I got it? Like, dang, what am I? So now it's like, for me, that's really what I was fighting like the first 3-4 weeks. I mean, being in pain, taking damn numbing shots and for the games to be able to go. I mean, it's really been a lot. I've been
probably just, chat.
Hey, it's been some stuff. And people, oh man, Jalen's not healthy. You damn right I'm not all the way healthy. But I think really just for me, just continuing to attack the rehab. I just got off the massage table a few hours ago. So just trying to just continue to give myself the best chance to win. But I'm looking forward to a full offseason to get really healthy. And it's funny because it's like, that's why I'm glad I'm not on social media. Because, I don't see it. I just kind of hear it from my people that are on it. But it's just, for me, it's like, I know what I'm going through. And it's like, realistically, I shouldn't even have came back when I came back. Took every measure to try to push my body, push myself. And it's like, all y'all see is, oh, yeah, Jalen's not healthy. It's like, yeah, but Jalen's also still giving the team the best chance to win, regardless of me being healthy or not. But, I mean, for me, I ain't worried about it. At the end of the day, I know what I can do, and I know I'm getting better. And you can see it on the tape. So, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all I can ask for.
So we pretty much nailed it when talking about Jalen Johnson.
I'd say
that
so. Yeah.
It's a little early for him to come back. He's not quite himself, but he has a chance to play on a winning team and took that opportunity to go out there and be helpful.
And you know who is of a similar status with that? You know, varying degrees of their, I guess, importance on the roster, investment from the team. Braxton Jones being the opening day starter at left tackle in a contract year. Was Braxton Jones laying it on the line for the Chicago Bears? And it wasn't going well early in the season. And, you know, Braxton Jones wasn't one of the top left tackles in the sport already. But then for him to very expediently rush back to be as ready as he could be for the opening game and to start the first few of the season and not look like a healthy version of himself, I would hope a lot of credit from folks at Hallis Hall and on the team and teammates recognizing what he was willing to do. And we'll see, you know, like we referenced earlier, now he's set to come off of injured reserve and provide at least some depth to the left tackle position for the Bears. But that was not a healthy Braxton Jones. And he came back so quickly from a really radical injury to his foot. And, you know, I don't think it's going to necessarily alter the career trajectory, you know, because he's had a lot of film out there as a starter, but he came back really quickly and started a few games. And now, you know, he's been out of the lineup the bulk of the season. And who knows? They may actually need him here if this playoff run continues.
Is that a drone outside, Big Ant? You see those red and green lights that are flashing?
Yeah.
I think that's a drone.
I think it's a spaceship.
Okay. Either way, we know that Doug Buffon saw a spaceship once, so it wouldn't be surprising that Big Ant saw one.
It's hovering right there looking at us, too.
Yeah, it is.
A drone delay.
No, we're not going to delay it, but it is interesting to see one that's like just hovering.
I saw your eyes like kind of perk up and notice something over my shoulder. I was a little bit worried, but I figured you'd tell me if I needed a duck.
I hope that's not like spying on somebody's
window. It's
going.
It's moving now.
Yeah, you know, this kind of feels like someone's taking looks at people that they shouldn't be taking looks at.
That's exactly what that appears to be.
Uh-huh. All right.
Sneaky drone.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Ben. And the conversation has gone national about that handshake between him and Matt LaFleur and what all of that means. We'll talk about it all. Ben is the villain. You dig it? Next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover's accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.